Knowledge fire. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Fight Knowledge. I'm Jordan.
Dan.
This is a little show where sometimes I take over and derail a better show in order to, approximate some expertise.
Better is subjective.
okay.
That's humility on my part.
Thanks, Dan.
Uh-huh.
You're very
so
helpful.
What is this show?
Well, today, Dan, I'm going to do a little talking about a guy named Graham Ledger from One America News Network.
All right. Before
that's,
you do
that's
that,
plan.
Do you have a bright spot?
But before I do, yeah, well, I didn't ask you. This is the first time you've messed up your side of the.
That's not true, because you didn't say that this is a show where we drink novelty beverages and talk a little bit, which is what leads into
do
what's
the whole
bright
shit.
Right. So what's your bright
God
spot?
God damn it. Dan, my bright spot is, Arca released a new album.
Okay.
And, it's all avant-garde, experimental.
Cool.
Yeah. But he did a song with, Bjork.
Mm.
And it's been a long time since I've heard any Bjork. And this song is so fucking Bjorky.
Ooh.
It is the most Bjork that I've, it's concentrated Bjork. And it's been a while.
One of the few artists who you can really credibly turn their name into an adjective.
Yeah. It's really Bjorky.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm glad you have some new experimental avant-garde nonsense.
That's what I like. What's your bright spot, Dan?
This is going to be paradoxical, because this is also a little bit involving the year of the... But it's also not necessarily a bright spot.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the lowest spot.
It might be the okay.
But in its terribleness, it serves as a reminder that I'm sometimes prophetic.
Okay.
On our last episode, I discussed how with seltzers, there are some flavors that are best not for some to try.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one of the examples that I pulled out of the air was Good and Gather, don't fuck with cucumber stuff.
So you found Good and Gather.
Well, I did have this in the fridge, and I was worried about it, which is probably why it came out.
Sure.
I got a mint cucumber from Good and Gather, which is the Target brand.
Right, all right.
It is the worst I've had.
The worst seltzer,
across
period.
Across the board.
All the way.
Yes.
All the way. Sub 10?
It's a 10.
Oh.
Because I think that it's possible for something to be worse. 10 out of 100, trash. Just absolute trash.
Sure.
And here's why.
Why?
If you get cucumber flavor, and you supplement that with something like mint, which adds a little bit of, I don't know if umami is the right name, but it adds a little bit of a savoriness to it. It adds a little salty complexity to it with the seltzer water.
All right.
You end up with pickle. That is a pickle seltzer, and it's gross.
Juice. You drank pickle juice.
I like pickle juice. This was disgusting. With pickle juice, it's great because it's super concentrated, and you can have a tiny bit of it when you're eating a pickle. Or something, and it's like, oh, look at that burst of salty greatness. This is supposed to be a refreshing seltzer drink,
sure.
And it tastes like a goddamn pickle, and it's gross. So fuck you, Good and Gather. Now, you're now the worst.
I got to get you a Soda Stream just so you can put pickle juice in there and get really carbonated pickle juice.
I mean,
see, you can really compare the two.
I do think the end of the year of the seltzer is obviously me getting a Soda
Stream.
Of course. I think that is how this all pays off.
You have to make your own.
But I can't do that now, because if I do, then it'll take away from my ability to try a bunch of other ones.
Sure.
So anyway, go fuck yourself, Good and Gather. you've surprised me with your disgustingness.
Take that, John Rappaport.
Yeah.
You've been replaced.
John Rappaport owns Target's seltzer division.
That's what we can blame him for. That's what we can blame him for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a wonderful bright spot.
Well,
Dan,
it's because I was right.
Yes, you were right.
That's why it's
that's
a bright
true
spot.
It
although
did pay
it's
off
gross.
Mm.
It actually was It's the, one of the only seltzers I can actually think of that I took like two sips of and just poured the rest out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Straight up.
Well, the first one was like, whoa, bad.
Yeah.
But then I was like, is it that bad?
Got to taste
it. So I took a second one and then dumped the rest of the bucket out.
Oh, man.
Bucket? Yeah.
Bucket.
It's a bucket.
Yeah, it's a bucket.
Yeah. It wasn't even a bottle. It
was
a bucket.
That's what Target gets you. Good and, yeah. good and gather buckets.
Yeah. Why'd you gather that? You shouldn't have gathered
it. It's not good.
It's bad. Bad and dump it.
Bad and forage.
Right, whatever. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I like that. That's a good bright spot. Well, yeah, like I said, we're going to be talking about Graham Ledger today. This is from, we're going to be talking from the July 1st episode of his show.
Okay.
But before we get to that, Dan, we're going to have to thank some listeners who've signed up and are supporting the team.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. All right. First up, Jamie K. You are now a policy one.
I think that's Janie.
Janie? Oh,
my handwriting.
That's
not
your
great.
Handwriting. Yeah. All right. Janie K. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Janie.
Thank you very much, Janie. And Marcella S., you are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Marcella.
Thank you.
And then Greg Legs, you are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Greggy Legs.
Hey, Greg's. Let's put the both of them together.
Good portmanteau. Okay. Is that what that is? I don't know.
All right. And then next, Bone Dog.
Bone Dog.
Bone Dog, you're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
It's important to note that was all capital letters.
Oh, it was? Yeah. You did? Wow, man, your handwriting.
Yeah.
You got to capitalize with a bigger O's.
Okay.
All right.
Fine.
Well, I'm not criticizing you.
Back to fucking calligraphy class here or whatever. No, cursive. Back when they were trying to teach me cursive. Which paid off. I'm glad I learned that.
If you use your left hand, you're a sinner. That's okay. True in cursive class.
Well, I don't.
But Matthew G.,
mm-hmm.
You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Matt.
Yes, thank you very much, Matt. And then Eric W., you are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Eric.
All right. And now we have to thank some people who've bumped their donation up to a much higher level, which we appreciate very much. Alex R. and Mike Hawk. You are both now technocrats.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much, Alex and Mike. Hawk.
You're really not doing a great job of you're over articulating that clearly.
What's
joke
wrong?
Name.
What's wrong with that? It's written down Mike Hawk.
Right.
I don't understand.
It's Tony Hawk's cousin.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Thank
poor
you
guy.
All.
Yes, thank you very much. And if you would like to sign up and support the team, you can go to our website, mm-hmm. click the button that says support the show. That'll take you to our Patreon.
Sure.
And we would appreciate it very much.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can find a local charity in your area or a bail fund and the like, and go ahead and donate to that.
See, it's not as easy as it looks to try and like come up with a way to express packaging something.
I just moved on.
Mm-hmm.
You're the professional.
I'm not. I've dropped the ball almost every time.
You killed it.
So, Jordan, you mentioned we're going to be talking about somebody from OAN.
Yes.
And that's something that's interesting because it's a topic that I want to cover, but... I don't really know how to, because there's not a lot that I can see to latch onto in terms of personalities of the people there. I certainly don't think that they have what you'd describe as a rising, like a steady hand, a real star.
They do not.
But it is something that is very relevant in the world of right-wing propaganda, and I'm glad that you took the initiative to look into a little something so we can have... Maybe a way of dipping our toe into that gross water.
Yeah.
Something may infect us, metaphorically.
Yes, hopefully.
From that toe dip.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I watched a lot of One America, which was not fun.
No, I can't imagine it would be.
No. And it's like the whole network is a harder right... minor league Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like if Fox
so
News
InfoWars.
Is the majors. It kinda.
Yeah.
But InfoWars at least has, you know, a slugger in Alex Jones.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like they're like a really bad team that has one guy who at least fills some seats.
Yeah, yeah. He's Adam Dunn.
Right.
He hits 40 a year with a 220 average. That's Alex.
And then OAN is the one that has like the big backer or whatever, because Trump seems to love them a bit.
Herring
but there's
Senior.
Just, but there's just nothing. Every time I have watched a little bit of it myself, mm-hmm. I will say.
Sure.
Every time I have, I've just been like, what is happening here? Mm-hmm. This is It's just not good.
Yeah.
It's not compelling. And a lot of it seems to be very similar in theme and content to stuff we already talk about.
Yeah, totally.
So I always had, I would describe it, at least my experience of like considering covering it, a lot of it felt like I was a rock climber who couldn't find a hold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I just couldn't figure out like, what is this? What is this rock?
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
That's a really great way of putting it. Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad that you're going to now try to climb that rock.
Well, let me tell you something. There is one rock. There is one rock, and you should just go ahead and play our out of context drop, and that'll give you an idea.
All right.
It would be very handy if Roger Stone died in a prison,
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for whom?
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I mean, we already know. Yeah. He talks about this. He talked about this with Alex.
Totally.
Everybody wants Roger dead in a COVID-infested prison.
Totally. And he went on and he gave the interview, and it was almost word for word the exact same interview.
Roger, yes. Is that what we're talking about? Roger going on OAN?
Roger went on OAN, my friend.
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
I also got a message, a couple messages actually, about other stops that Roger made. And apparently he was on like a QAnon show prior to being on InfoWars. Mm. I imagine that has to be a scheduling thing.
Yeah.
I feel like Alex would blow up if that was intentional. I'd be very mad. But yeah, he's been going all over the place because, I mean, we even talked about this on our last episode when Roger was on InfoWars. It's like this is a media tour where he's just begging Trump to pardon him by way of saying how much value he has to Trump.
Now, here's the thing. We skip that part entirely on this
one. Okay.
This interview, and there aren't that many clips of it. It was a really short interview. This interview, there's no buttering Trump up, really.
Okay.
It is out and out begging. Literally, he says, I'm begging you. I'm begging Trump to pardon me.
Well, I mean, when he was on InfoWars, he said he prayed to Trump.
He says he's praying to Trump again today.
So maybe it wasn't a slip of the tongue.
Nope.
Well,
this is a man who prays to Trump.
I think that that's probably a good move on his part, because unlike with InfoWars, he has a pretty good reason to believe that Trump may actually be watching OAN.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Much Yikes. Smarter. So yeah, he goes on Graham Ledger's show. Graham Ledger is the minor league Bill O'Reilly.
Okay.
He's trying to do that whole thing, and he's just even more hard right. That's the whole idea. And this is a tweet that he had in the last 24 hours in response to Newsom tweeting out something like, it's a good idea
Masks
to wear a mask.
Masks are good, man.
Yeah. Wearing a mask is a sign of submission. I would rather die from the Wuhan coronavirus than ever submit you or you. Come and get me, jerk.
Ooh.
Hashtag 1st July. Hashtag National Doctors Day. Hashtag COVID-19. Hashtag Remdesivir. Hashtag coronavirus.
Okay.
So
he's trying to get some real traction there with the hashtags.
Yeah.
He's trying to bump engagement.
He's infecting Twitter.
Come and get me. What?
The government is politely asking you to do an eminently reasonable thing. Mm. How does that turn into come and get me?
Well, it's because it's a sign of submission.
Oh, that's fair.
But that's, again, like really in line with Alex's pretty consistent stuff about, I mean, just about everything. Mm-hmm. Not even, like, it long predates COVID-19 or masks. Just anything he doesn't like is a submission.
Yeah.
And it's just preparing you for the globalists to fill in the blank.
Oh, yeah. I can't stand going to McDonald's and getting one curly fry. It's not further.
Yeah, they won't let you have supersize at McDonald's anymore. It's just getting you ready for the FEMA camp.
Yeah, exactly.
Next thing you know, they're going to be feeding you Soylent Green. It's people. That's going to be us. Us good God-loving conservatives are going to turn us into food. Do you understand?
That's
by
exactly
my iodine.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And as you were saying, William Herring Sr. is the Robert Herring Sr. is the guy who is the big backer who owns One America. And both he and our boy Graham Ledger just this year lost a lawsuit to their former booking producer,
Robert Minow Jr.
Not quite. Okay. Jonathan Harris. Mm. Harris, who is black. Brought it up in a meeting, a private meeting with Robert Herring Sr. He's just like, hey, I'm getting, like, I know where I work, okay? People are being very racially harassing towards me.
Okay.
Within 24 hours, he was fired.
Well, you can't say that at a meeting.
No, you can't. Well, and he also made it very clear that Graham Ledger was one of the biggest offenders.
Oh, so he is like Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Exactly. Harris, of course, won $300,000 in compensatory damages.
That seems low.
Yeah, and the total lawsuit was $1.1 million, I think, is what he got. So it was that kind of thing. Now, with Graham, I was looking into him, and I was trying to find his history and his bio and stuff like that. And he doesn't have a Wikipedia page, mm-hmm. which I find fascinating. He has been on One America as a host for 3 years now, something like that. Maybe even longer, and he still doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
Huh.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
I guess a little bit. Maybe they're not nearly as
that
big
could be.
As...
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe no one's interested.
Maybe we're the only...
I mean, isn't it a situation where, like, Wikipedia pages are really just based on how much interest anyone has to make one?
Yeah, pretty
Maybe
much.
Maybe no one's interested in making them one?
It might not be.
I think a lot of people only have Wikipedia pages because they make them for themselves.
Yeah? Oh, you think so?
Yeah, so maybe this is actually a sign that he's not a vain person. We should congratulate him for not having a Wikipedia page.
Well, I will disavow you of that notion.
Okay.
He is very vain. But I did find a bio page on Marathi.tv. I believe it's Marathi. It is now my new favorite website.
Okay.
It is Maharathi.tv is, according to Maharathi.tv, Maharashtra's leading entertainment and cultural website. Maharashtra is a region in India, and Marathi is the predominant language of that people.
Okay.
I have no idea why he is on that website and not Wikipedia, but he's there. And there are some great little fun fact type things about him, like this. There's a couple that stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Graham Charles Ledger is an American businessman, television news anchor, and host of The Daily Ledger. With more than 3 decades of experience, he has earned himself a prominent seat in conservative news coverage.
Mm-hmm.
That seems a little self-aware for a website primarily based out of India.
You mean self-written?
Maybe.
Okay.
Right?
30 years of experience. Is that the business experience, or has he been in the media for 30 years?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
He started out, he's a San Diego guy.
Oh,
and he started
enough
out,
said.
Exactly. You know those San Diegans.
I don't know. I don't know how that's an answer to my question. He's a San Diego guy.
Well, when he was in San Diego, he was a local news host.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. Or he's still in San Diego, and he's a local news host, and it's like his career goes like that until about 2004, 2005. And then he switches and helps start Smart Drive Systems, which is a business that makes cameras to put in long-haul truckers' cabs in order to watch them at all times.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Right?
Great.
He's a terrifying psycho.
Spy on truckers.
Exactly.
Make sure they don't take amphetamines that we almost require people. I don't actually know if that's true. That might be based on a real stereotype. Yeah, real shitty.
Yeah, real shitty. But that gives him the term American businessman. And then later on, he goes and starts working. It's a little bit like Ron Burgundy turned into Bill O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of the career trajectory that he's had.
So he's a big deal.
He's a
kind of
dick.
Kind of a big deal.
And then here's another fun tidbit. He has a daughter named Sienna Marilyn, whom he loves very much.
Marilyn. Oh, okay.
Their social media presence is heartwarming.
That's in the bio?
That's in the bio.
Okay. I mean, it's subjective, but fine. I'll allow it.
Right. Yeah, that's a little bit weird. Here's where it gets a little bit more and more obvious. With his sharp business skills, Ledger soon established a market foothold and made business relationships with the state of California and the Salvation Army as his clients.
So the Salvation Army is buying his spy shit.
Apparently.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, I looked into this further, and it turns out all of that information from Marathi TV comes directly from a Meet the Candidates interview that he had when he was running for one of the seats on the San Dieguito Union High School District Board of Trustees.
Mm-hmm.
It ran in 2012. Quote directly from the article. In 2006, I helped launch a high-tech company in San Diego, Smart Drive Systems. With little or no budget, we successfully carved out a market foothold and established the company in a highly competitive industry, while personally establishing new client relationships, including the state of California and Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect that there is somebody in India who really likes Graham Letcher. That's as good as I can get there.
Yeah, that's a mystery.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that, but that's that is, you have solved the mystery of where those words came from.
Exactly. But I'm a great researcher.
We still don't have an answer for why.
I'm a great researcher.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Now, there's another bio.
Okay.
That I found on a website called healthyton.com.
Ton?
Yeah.
T-O-N?
Healthyton.com.
Okay.
I strongly recommend it. For everyone.
For tons of health stuff.
For no health stuff whatsoever.
Shit, so it's the reverse.
Apparently, this website just keeps like height, weight, and health information on celebrities.
Okay.
That's it.
I don't Yeah, okay. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Known afflictions.
It's so weird. Yeah.
Has a bad knee.
Exactly. Yes, 100% that.
Wow, I don't want to look at this website.
But there is also weird biographical data here.
Mm-hmm.
So in
Does he have a celebrity feet picture bio?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Does he? What would they
I mean? Don't know. I'm just trying to guess, like, based on where your research has taken you. We're like, we've got the what illnesses might celebrities have and how much do they weigh website.
That's
maybe
the
there's some good foot shots of Ledger out there.
That's a good question.
Well, see, now if I were preparing this episode, I would have an answer for you.
You son of a bitch.
And I would have a poster board.
You son of a bitch.
And I'd have a poster board drawn up. Here is his feet.
Okay. All right. What are Alex's feet look like?
Oh, they're not good, man.
Oh, I believe that.
You ever seen Cthulhu?
Yes, I have.
It's not like that at all, bad feet.
Bad feet. All right. Yeah, so on HealthyTone, you get really, really weird grammar and stuff like this. So one quote from that is, Graham Ledger was born on 13th March 1961 in San Diego, California. He is American by nationality and his ethnic background is white. There is no information about his parents and siblings. Growing up, he learned at St. Ignatius College Preparatory, situated in the place where he grew up and graduated with phenomenal evaluations.
Great.
He, for further studies, joined San Diego State University and successfully obtained a bachelor's degree. All typos and poor grammar directly from the site. Graham Ledger was a reporter on Graham Ledger was a reporter KMFB TV from 1990 2004. Eminent for covering probably the greatest live news stories like the 2003 California wildfire on national TV.
It's a big story.
Yeah, he likewise took proficient photography from 2004 to 2005 and began Graham Ledger Photography. Besides, he seemed a few times on the radio, including 210 FM.
He seems to be.
Exactly. Now, this is where it really ramped up here.
The bad grammar? Which, by the way, if I were this dude and I decided to like write a bio about how like I was into drugs or something, I would be like, you know, his name's Graham. I would call it bad grammar.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's
you can take that one, Ledger.
Yep, go for it.
Yep. He has a great name for puns.
Well, his show is called The Daily Ledger.
Right.
Yeah. So we got one there.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Graham, there's a lot of stuff you can do with that.
Sure.
21 Grams. He could remake that movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
About the soul.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
7 Grams, he could...
That's,
he
I think, the one I was thinking of.
Reference, no, isn't 7... Well, whatever. I was thinking of the Wu-Tang lyric.
Oh, I can never keep any of this straight.
That's fair. But here's my favorite one. Graham Ledger's, this is under Graham Ledger's net worth salary. Graham Ledger, without a doubt, acquires a lot of fortune. So as a host and anchor, he acquires a normal salary of $127,000. It's protected to state that he conveys a net worth of millions.
Hmm.
Fantastic.
This seems like something that was from English that got translated and is translated back.
Exactly.
This seems like something that there's a reason the grammar is bad.
I think he has a fan in India.
That could be.
Fucking loves him.
That could be.
Ah.
Hmm. Good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this show, the interview he does with Roger Stone, the show for the most part is garbage. Mm-hmm. I didn't deal with the second half at all, which is an interview with Josh Horowitz, the conservative reporter guy.
I don't know.
It is one of the most racist, like just out and out, straight up nonstop racism. Then there was no point in doing anything with
Shocked
it.
I haven't seen this guy on InfoWars.
Yeah, I am too. Maybe he hates InfoWars for could some be. Reason.
Maybe even these folks know, stay away from that.
It really could be. And here he has one of the more incoherent things that we're dealing with, because he has the same problem that Alex had with Roger Stone.
There's a status imbalance?
Well, no. It doesn't seem like that at all.
Oh.
It's that Roger Stone is telling you, if he goes to jail, COVID-19 will kill him.
Right.
It's the most dangerous thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Graham Ledger is going to tell you that there is no problem at all with COVID-19.
That sort of branch in the road is tough to...
Exactly. So we wind up bouncing back and forth, invalidating everything simultaneously, sometimes within the same sentence.
Mm-hmm.
But he starts off like this.
It's all data-driven. Not my opinion. Facts. Raw data. The numbers.
So that's him saying that it not being a big deal is all raw data-driven facts.
He is about to tell us all about statistics.
Mm-hmm.
He is about to tell us the truth using only facts and numbers.
Ma'am.
Exactly.
That's some dragnet shit.
Immediately after saying that, he says this.
Like the fact that this is the least lethal so-called global pandemic in world history. 500,000 dead.
Is this true, Jordan?
Is it true, Dan?
I don't know.
How would you be able to tell that this is the least lethal so-called global pandemic in history?
Well, I mean, if you take away a few of those weaselly words, you could probably look at numbers and history, and you could just go from there.
Sure.
How do you define a global pandemic, though?
Touches the globe.
Okay.
One side to the other.
Sure.
I would call it that.
Okay.
And then least lethal, is he talking about...
percentages,
right?
or total? Gross numbers? He said 500,000 dead, so you would kind of be led to believe that it would be a number of gross dead.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, you got to define your terms.
Right. Now, and then the other hand, so SARS-1. Is that the least lethal global pandemic in history because they took steps necessary to keep it from becoming a lethal global pandemic?
Could be.
You know? Or even still, I think the larger issue, it's not over yet.
That's a good point.
How can you tell me in the middle of the global pandemic that this is the least lethal one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's you saying, well, you don't need to act like this is a big deal until we make it the most lethal global pandemic.
You know, like when you're at the beginning of a car wreck.
Yeah.
At a certain point, it's only a fender bender.
The least lethal car wreck.
If you're able to stop time
right.
just when you make contact with the other car, maybe at that point you've only scraped some paint.
Exactly.
Now, by the time the whole thing is over,
and
maybe, yeah, maybe then there's some other downsides.
Yeah,
that is true. It's always difficult to... Yeah, things aren't over.
And you can't compare. Yeah. So he's right out the gate. This is the beginning of the show. Talking numbers. Already he has said something that neither makes sense nor can be dealt with at all. Then, as if he understands, wait a second, I just said 500,000 people were dead, and I said this was not a big deal. He goes with this.
Yes, we just crossed... 500,000 deaths by COVID-19 globally. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not intending to diminish any of these deaths by corona. They were all human beings.
All right, Dan. What do you think his next words will be?
Oh, I mean, I'm guessing but is how it starts.
Yep.
That is, I mean, I don't know. These people are like, you know, they're pool balls. They could break in any direction.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I know it's going to start with butt.
Oh, yeah.
Butt is the cue ball that's about to hit.
Yeah.
And it's going to go in some unpredictable direction. They're all humans, but... I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Go for it.
But that number is a political, statistical joke.
I don't even know what that means.
Right? Also, how can you start with, I'm not trying to diminish any of these deaths, and end with, it's a joke!
The number is a political, statistical joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
In what way does that not diminish every single death?
I mean, I guess what he's trying to say is probably that the way in which the number is used is a political charade or whatever. Sure. But then that's invalidating his stated objective of just using the facts and the numbers.
Yep.
Because he still now has to talk about that 500,000.
Oh, yeah.
And they are all humans. Yeah. But.
But.
Yeah, that's weird. That seems like he's trapped himself in a bit of a weird cucumber mint pickle.
Yeah. He's got his own soda stream going right now. Already, this is just the first 2 minutes of his segment. Mm-hmm. And he has already said three conflicting things that don't make any sense at the same time. He's having it both ways as much as he possibly can. And he knows what he's doing, too. Like, even now, even with this clip, he says something like this.
There are some, 6 billion plus or minus a few hundred million people on the planet? 6 billion? 500,000 is not statistically relevant. And in this country, the death by COVID-19 numbers are not spiking. Repeat, not spiking.
Wow, he swung me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know why? Here's what I'll say. Here's why I respect this guy as a broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
Because 500,000, that sounds like a lot of people. But then when you bring up a bigger number, I'm like, that's not that big a number.
That's not that big a number.
Yeah.
It's not relevant.
I respect the hell out of that. Mm-hmm. And I am now going to donate to OAN.
You got convinced.
Yeah. All it took was someone just talking about facts.
Okay. Furthermore, Dan, how many billions of people are on the planet?
Isn't it closer to 7?
Yeah. It's over 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this guy has all the facts.
I always lose
all the numbers.
I'm not going to be pedantic about that because I lose track of that world population. I mean, I know it was a big deal when it crossed the 7, but you know, I don't know what it's 7 point something, and I don't know what the point is now.
Yeah, I think it's almost 7.7.
Yeah, that makes sense. But 6 is a little low.
Yeah.
But you know what? That comes from, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the time that population was a big deal was around the time when it might have been around 6.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the arguments about,
the 70s and 80s,
overpopulation bomb and stuff that. Those arguments a lot of the times used 6 as, the stand-in for... So I think a lot of people probably are just regurgitating stuff from those times.
Sure.
And that might be why it's sort of shorthand for the population.
It could be.
You know, because whenever you hear people talking about the Georgia Guidestones and stuff about how it's keep population to under 500,000,000 or whatever.
Right.
And they talk about oh, you're going to kill off five and a half billion people. Yeah. I think that people are just, they've not updated their references.
And normally I'm fine with that kind of thing. But this guy opens his broadcast saying he's going to give us all the numbers and all the facts, and multiple times he does exactly what Alex does.
Yeah, that's fair.
I do hours of research. I do hours of research. I've looked into all of these numbers. On the tip of my tongue this morning, I looked into these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You should probably get the population right.
Yeah, you'd think.
You would imagine that you saw that number at some point doing all your research.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end he says, deaths aren't spiking.
Right.
Makes it very clear.
Yeah. We've talked about that a little bit.
Yeah. This is his next clip. Immediately afterwards.
Outside of a huge data dump on June 25th, thanks to the governor of New Jersey. Thank you so much, Mr. Murphy.
Yeah. So deaths aren't spiking.
Outside of
the data dump that we got showing that deaths are spiking.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, New Jersey. You're really ruining my fucking narrative.
Well, I think the problem is that Phil Murphy, and the governor of New Jersey, is now governor of half of the country.
Exactly.
As we learned from Alex.
Yeah.
So that would explain why his data would be a data dump. Because he's got a report for
the whole
20-something states.
He's responsible for a lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And he continues on. He just does this whole thing over and over and over again. Not a big deal. There's no problem. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there's a problem.
Right.
You know, there's...
And I'm not going to diminish it.
No.
These are humans, but...
Everybody's a joke.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Uh-huh. Just nonstop. Like, okay, it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. I know it's a problem.
Yeah.
But it's not a problem.
Now, I know that this 5 is a scary number.
Sure.
Because it seems so high.
Well, it's so big.
Anyone ever told you about 30?
Oh, shit. Where do you even get 30?
It's magic.
Oh, goddamn. And most of this is just constant COVID denial. Like, this is what he says next.
No different than previous years. Why is this relevant? Well, this is why. If COVID-19 is such a killer virus, then we would be seeing an increase in the sheer number of dead Americans compared to previous years, right? Well, we're not.
Well, I mean, that's just not true, right? I mean, we've seen excess death numbers look pretty shocking, particularly in areas that are heavily affected with outbreaks.
Up to as high as 40% excess deaths.
Yeah, I know that the last time I tried to look into it, it's kind of difficult to find excess death numbers for a lot of the portions of the country.
Right.
But New York had data that was reported in the Financial Times.
Right.
And they also had an analysis of like tons of other countries that were showing massive jumps in terms of excess deaths.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever I don't have any reason to believe him unless he can demonstrate that.
Yeah.
Because I've seen compelling evidence that there is, in fact, a lot more death happening.
Oh, insane.
Yeah.
No one denies that except for people who just say there isn't.
Yeah.
Like, this is the, I know all the numbers.
I don't know. At the same time, it's tough. Like, it would be hard for him to prove a negative. Like, you know, him to prove that there aren't more deaths. He'd just have to, you know, deal with the things. Like, he'd have to deal with the sources that are saying that there are and show why they're wrong.
Right.
That's what I need him to do now.
Right.
And I'm guessing he's not going to.
He has no interest in doing
great.
That. What he does have interest in doing, and this, I think, is just wild. He follows that claim up. That the deaths aren't spiking with this line.
Are you listening, California residents and the people of Illinois and New Yorkers? You're being hoodwinked. You're being lied to.
I got kind of distracted because I realized that he was talking to me. I live in Illinois.
Yeah. I just like that he inadvertently admitted directly to our faces, you're being lied to. I'm lying to you. I just lied to you. I mean, it's just too on the nose.
Yeah.
It's too on the nose.
Wow. Yeah.
Come on. I know I'm being unfair about
that. A little.
I know I'm being unfair about that.
You're being fair, but also unfair. You're right on that line. Right on the line.
Yeah, but he's a dick.
Sure. I'm not going to disagree with you there.
I just don't like people just being like, it's not happening.
Right.
Wake up.
Yeah.
They're lying to you.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with like, Alex yelling, but wake up to people that he's trying to keep in basically a delusional coma.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just immensely annoying to me, especially. And whenever they use the second person, that's whenever it's like, okay, now you're talking directly to me, telling me that they're doing the thing that you're literally doing in those words.
And they name the state that you're in.
Exactly. I'm taking it personally.
Sure.
No one's lying to me.
Nah.
Except for you.
Ledger, meet me at Portillo's. We're going to solve this shit. I'm going to shove an Italian beef down your throat.
I tell you, they got those good little, eat a little cake,
the
little chocolate.
Oh, yeah, the little cake.
Little chocolate.
Put some giardiniera on that cake.
That's good stuff. And so he just keeps doing this. And then he gets into that kind of, it's just a constant like back and forth, you know, with this next clip.
Of course, you happen to have a loved one in a nursing home in any blue state, especially New York. I would have gotten them the hell out of those facilities long ago, judging by what Andrew Cuomo did, which was to issue death sentences to thousands of elderly by forcing nursing homes to accept COVID-19 patients. Absolutely outrageous. 4,500 COVID-19 patients dead after Cuomo's March 25 order. It is the highest rate of nursing home deaths in the country. Again, the numbers do not lie.
That's just another Alex narrative.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we've seen Alex talk about a bit. I mean, that's, there's also a presumption in there that is like, can you afford to care for your whoever you have, your loved one is at home?
Yep.
Are you able to provide the specific kind of care if they have a condition that they need to be taken care of with? You probably can't. So he's telling people to do something they probably couldn't do.
Yep.
To avert something that isn't what Cuomo was doing.
Yep.
God damn.
And he's doing it in the immediate, like, no, it's no big deal. 500,000 out of 6 billion? What do you even care about? Mm. Unless you're old, in which case this is terrifying and Cuomo is murdering you and this is the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's a nonstop. Mm-hmm. It drives me insane. You know, you just keep bouncing back and forth.
Like, this is important, but this is not. This is important, but this is not. Yeah. And it seems like there isn't really a coherent reason why one is and one isn't.
Nope.
Except for it's like, oh, this is useful to me, this isn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Ah, this is, you know, nah, nobody's dying. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's dying in nursing homes because Cuomo's killing them.
Right.
But I mean, really, 4,500 out of what? We've got 100 million old people in this world. 4,500 ain't no big deal. Unless you're in New York, in which case it's even more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's,
this isn't a big deal unless you're in a blue state and you happen to be somebody who is likely to be in my audience.
Yeah. Yep.
Then run.
Yeah, exactly. And he does. So then the next thing he does is he starts talking to a clip of Governor Newsom.
Okay.
And he does it the same. He does it Alex Jonesian.
And over on the left coast, pretty much the same thing. Just as bad, frankly, if not worse, from this slick Marxist nutcase, Gavin Newsom.
COVID-19 didn't take summer recess, didn't take a summer vacation.
Stop tape. I'm not a body language reader, but look at him. Look at him. His jaw is clenched. He's moving around rather nervous. He's mad. He's showing California residents and the rest of the world that he's mad.
Mad.
Yep.
He's furious.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like a lot of people do that. A lot of people say, like, stop, you know, because, you know, sometimes you're on the fly with the production staff.
Sure.
I think Alex does it in a way that's more fun or more interesting, at least, because he's pretending to be, like, so emotionally affected by whatever. He adds more showmanship to it than that.
Totally.
That was very clunky.
No, my notes on that are... You're so disappointing. Mm-hmm. This Governor Newsom is a demon. He's not just mad. What are you doing?
Yeah, you were so close there with the Marxist. You know, you're getting there. You're getting there, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Talk about how he wants blood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't have a slugger.
Yeah.
They're just hitting singles. Mm-hmm. It's pathetic.
Yep.
I hate it. And then he goes into this whole thing and he points out that cases are spiking. And that Newsom is trying to close down the bars and he's doing all this shit to try and keep young people from spreading the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spreading mostly among young people, which the governor is trying to punish here right now. It's what we call herd immunity, because we know that younger people, the demographic of somewhere in the neighborhood of 0 to 20 to 30 years old, has almost a zero mortality rate. Many of these young people are running around asymptomatic. And many of them contract the virus but have no antibodies because their body fought it off to the degree that there's no antibodies showing up in the blood work. Isn't that amazing? But
I've got my brow furrowed.
Yeah, you do.
Uh-huh.
I can see some confusion on your face. What's confusing there?
Well, if your body fought it off successfully, that would lead to antibodies.
Yes.
Because that would...
Unless you fight it off... So successfully.
I don't even understand what he's saying.
Too successfully.
I don't understand what he's saying.
No, if you fight it off really good, you can't even find antibodies.
Right. Okay. All right. Fine. I gotta go, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't even know the ideas that are attempting to be expressed here, quite frankly.
Mm-mm.
And I mean, I guess there's a way to make this coherent on some level.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be bad, and I wouldn't support this, but like... If he was going around to being like, yeah, okay, people who are younger have a less likelihood of dying. Granted, some are still going to die. But like, hey, let's let all these young people go out to bars and all this stuff and they'll get it. It won't be as bad of cases. But at the same time, what we'll have to do is make sure that nobody who is immunocompromised or has a pre-existing condition or is over the age of 40 something, can go to work.
Yeah.
You got like all you, know,
you got
like, let's isolate all of the people who could be hurt by this in order for you to be able to go to Dick's Last Resort.
Yep.
Or why is that the name that came to my mind?
I have no idea.
You know what? Honestly, I was going to say Ed DeBevick's, but that's not a bar necessarily. It's just a restaurant here in Chicago where people yell
where
at you.
Where they insult you.
And that's, I think, what Dick's Last Resort is, too. They insult you there.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
Okay. I've never been to Dick's Last Resort.
I've only seen the sign downtown in Chicago when I was like walking over a bridge.
And
I've
it was like,
it.
Get on in here, douchebag.
No, I've heard people talk about it, and I think that's what that is. I could come up with a better bar.
All right, we're going.
I could have gone with like anything.
Dick's Last Resort.
Damn it.
That's what we're doing.
Cabo Wabo. That's at least named after an alcohol. No 20-year-olds going to Cabo Wabo. Shit.
Huh. And he does this knowing full well, like he's talking about the mortality rate, but he even literally writes it down. Many of the young people are running around asymptomatic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How can you tell me, you know, like, oh, man, all of these old people in nursing homes are dying all the time and it's the single worst thing in the world. But we should definitely let their kids run around asymptomatic and then, I don't know, visit them.
Sure.
You know?
Asymptomatic versus pre-symptomatic too. Mm-hmm. It's unclear at any point what you know where you are. If you are if you're going to develop symptoms eventually, or if you are going to be truly asymptomatic through the course of your illness. Yeah, I mean, like what he's saying is just dangerous.
Yeah.
It just seems stupid. Unless you want to, like I said, fully reorder society in a way to like isolate people just so kids could go to bars or whatever.
Yep. And kids got to go to bars.
You should still maybe wear a mask at the bar.
Now, what you should realize, though, is that Governor Newsom is punishing you for going out to a bar, Dan.
Okay.
It's the worst thing in the world.
Amazing. But the governor, yes, while he's shooting himself in the foot, he also realizes that he's continuing to strangle the economy. His little piece of the U.S. economy, which harms the reelection chances of Donald Trump. So he's still at it, and he's still going to be at it straight through November, strangling his economy as much as possible in order to harm the reelection chances of Donald Trump.
This guy is boring as hell.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's there's why a reason, Stone is the only foothold.
There is a fucking reason why I have not been able to find a grip on this this network.
Oh, yeah.
So just listen to this and be like, oh, fuck it. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. And he's doing the, it like, it doesn't get more globalist kind of nonsense whenever you're saying, okay, so yeah, the governor is shooting himself in the foot.
Oh, by the way, his little part of the U.S. economy.
Yeah, yeah.
Little part. Yeah. California's economy.
Yeah,
little.
The what? Top 25 GDPs in the world?
Something like
that. Yeah. But also, at the same time, Newsom is doing this on purpose in order to hurt Donald Trump's reelection chances.
Well, it would stand to reason that if that is the case, then that also hurts Gavin Newsom's reelection chances.
You would think.
Because if he completely torpedoes California's economy, California probably isn't going to be like, hey, let's keep this guy around.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Huh. Think about that one, you dumb ledger.
Here's the bigger part, though.
Mm.
All right? At no point in time does he say, Trump could do something about that.
But
he's the president.
Like,
so
what?
If
what
Governor Newsom is destroying his own economy, Trump could literally be like, hey, here's money. We've got a new support package. And then the economy doesn't crash.
Can't do it. States' rights.
Like, hey, Trump could solve that problem if he wanted to.
Well, I mean, cash injections would help cushion things considerably in terms of like making sure that local businesses don't have to close,
there
making sure people don't end up experiencing homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of, yeah, there's a number of things that it would just be policy decisions that could be made from Washington.
Yeah, so.
But they're against big government. They're against that stuff. So that can't even be entertained as a possible solution.
No, no, no. Of course not.
Their subset of beliefs doesn't have a real answer.
No, because the answer is obvious and they don't want to do it.
Yep.
So instead, they'll blame other people for not doing the thing that they could do
mm-hmm.
easily.
Yeah. And it's all an attack to try and hurt Trump.
You got it. Everything is... Everything
this is,
all,
like, just poorly delivered InfoWars talking points.
There you go.
This is all just, like, the same... like, I'm listening to this, and I'm just like, yep, ding, ding. Yep. Like, I've got bingo a couple times already.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's disappointing.
Yeah. Oh, it's not my fault. I'm not the guy doing this.
I wasn't blaming you. I'm disappointed in the world. I'm disappointed that there's another one of these.
Yeah.
But you know what? That leads me to believe that there's a really decent chance that eventually someone with chops will end up there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you got to think. If the president is, like, retweeting their shit and, like, talking about, oh, they're a great network, all this stuff, you got to assume that some enterprising grifter who has chops is going to end up there.
Yeah.
The problem I see is that, like, a lot of the people who seem to have, like, a lot of the skills, this younger set, they seem to gravitate towards harder extremism than could be molded or fit into that slot.
Yeah.
You need somebody who's a sellout and good.
Right.
And someone like Nick Fuentes would be dangerous as fuck at OAN or something like that, but he's far too extreme. He couldn't do it. You need like a sellout, like a harder sellout version of Fuentes in there, and then it's game over. That would be devastating.
Do you know what my suspicion on that is?
What's that?
The hard, like those guys who are talented now, they stay on the internet. They're not going to One American News Network. They're not looking for a co-anchor job.
Yeah.
You know?
They have an ability to create their own like space to an extent.
Yep. And because that's part of the darkest part of the internet, that creates that more radicalizing situation.
There aren't editors and bosses telling you, hey, man.
Tone it down.
Exactly.
You can't. Yeah. And so he continues with the Governor Newsom little speech. He's pissed off about the whole thing. Can't let Governor Newsom talk.
Hasn't gone away. I know a lot of us thought, okay, it's going to get warm. Once it gets hot, it all goes away.
Stop tape.
Now.
All right. Now, on this next, he's stopping the tape. Mm-hmm. What do you think he's going to say?
It's just not hot enough. If it's hotter, then the virus would go away, which is why global warming is good. Because, you know, hey, the global temperature rises 3 degrees. Virus can't survive in that temperature.
That's true.
Is that what he does?
Really close.
You know, I check the numbers. This is my job now. I look at this data every day.
Six billion pieces.
It's interesting when you look at El Salvador and you look at the Philippines and you look at Thailand and you look at Vietnam. All those areas have warm weather, right? And high humidity. High temperature, high humidity combination. Their cases are in the hundreds. Go look for yourself.
I'm sold.
See?
He named four countries. Sure. Are those the only high temperature, high humidity countries? Are we sure we're not selecting for some other variable?
Are you seeing a problem with that logic there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously. Yeah.
It's just like, okay. So you're saying that heat doesn't kill the virus. Mm-hmm. Really? Look at El Salvador, one place where I know it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
It can be hot anywhere.
Sure.
No more virus if it's summer.
All right. Yeah, that's bad. I mean, but that's just transparently bad.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, this is, honestly, I'm not saying this to like shit on you doing this episode.
Sure.
But like, and it's more like experiential. It's like, I'm listening to this and I'm not even interested in this guy's bullshit.
Exactly. That's what I'm for, though.
It's so boring.
You're not interested in Mark Moreno's bullshit.
No.
You're not interested in Robert Jeffers' bullshit. I bring these people to you
Jeffers,
so we can never speak of them
Jeffers
again.
Was at least a little bit more intriguing in
That's
terms
true.
Of some of those dynamics. This guy is just like a junior varsity Alex without anything that really makes me gravitate towards him being interesting or even scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just somebody who's shit.
Yep.
Kind of.
You got it. But in such a way that is like... I find it...
It's dangerous, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I don't mean to minimize that.
No, of course.
I think that he is somebody who probably deserves some attention from a critical perspective.
Sure.
But, like, in terms of being interesting, which is something that I need in order to keep doing something.
Yes,
he fails.
That's why we only do one episode on him.
Oof. Yeah. Let this be a performance review, Graham. I have spent 3+ years paying attention to Alex Jones, and I get down about it from time to time. And yeah, certainly I hate him. But I've listened to maybe 3 minutes of you, and I want to stop. You suck.
Basically.
Yep.
And yeah, he continues on.
Here. They're counting them in the hundreds. Vietnam has zero. Zero deaths. Now, I don't know how good their accounting is, and certainly they're not doing the widespread testing that we're doing, but the bottom line is, yes, as the weather gets warmer, as the humidity rises, it helps beat back the transmission, the spread of a virus, something this guy will not admit.
I love it when somebody says the bottom line is something right after using a couple of examples of why there isn't a bottom line.
No, yeah. Sure, they're not doing any testing, but they've got zero deaths, Dan.
Yeah.
I don't know how good their accounting is, but I can trust their zero death counts.
Yeah. I just lost this match against you, right? And I did tap out, and you beat me fair and square, and that's all great. But I'm going to kick your ass, and that's the bottom line, because yeah. Stone Cold said so.
Yep.
That's not the bottom line. You just lost.
Yeah.
Okay, look, Vietnam, yes. I don't know if they're counting people.
Sure.
They might not be.
That's possible.
They're certainly not doing as much testing as they need to do. But the bottom line is... okay. Fuck off. Just linguistically... If you have trouble with that sentence, if you're a viewer and you're watching that, and you're like, this makes sense. The problem is not him. The problem isn't Graham. The problem is sentence comprehension.
Yeah, right?
That's troubling.
That's real bad.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is, this is something that I was expecting to look into and be like, what an idiot. You're telling me that humidity stops viruses from transmitting.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. And I looked it up, and there is a little bit of evidence that it's maybe possible that seasonal changes could affect the spread of the virus.
Oh, sure. No, yeah, there is some scientific backing to that, to the extent that you can like count on it
exactly.
being the case for every virus or illness is debatable, and the extent to which it would even like it even is relevant to discuss as like, oh, this will help. You can't bank on it, but there are environmental differences.
Totally. And from the NIH director's blog, as far as that goes, because I looked into it and I was like, oh, maybe there is something to this.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked further into it, and the researchers at the NIH ran 3 different scenarios based on the role of climate in the spread of other viruses, you know, like OC43 and HKU1. That are known to cause common colds.
Mm-hmm.
In all 3 scenarios, their model showed that climate only would become an important seasonal factor in controlling COVID-19 once a large proportion of people within a given community are immune. Right now, before that time period, because SARS-CoV-2 is as sensitive to climate as other seasonal viruses, summer heat still wouldn't be enough to mitigate the spread through anything. Mm-hmm. So
that makes some sense.
Exactly.
But it could have an incremental effect.
Right.
But it probably isn't worth even like talking about.
Right.
In terms of like, once it gets warm, we'll be good. Yeah.
And if you would like to go back to how El Salvador and Vietnam have wonderful climates and everything.
Well, Vietnam isn't counting people.
Right.
They're not testing anybody.
Well, there are other places with warm climates,
sure.
Like Brazil, Ecuador,
right.
All of which are exploding.
There's that whole thing about it not always being summer when it's summer here.
Yeah.
There's other parts of the world have different seasons.
He's in San Diego. He doesn't know about
weather. San Diego guy.
He's a San Diego guy.
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, from what I understand about Brazil, it's a dry heat. it's very dry in the Amazon.
That's what people are known for in Brazil. Ah, the Brazilian dry forests. So very good.
Yeah.
He continues on, though. He powers through all of this terrible nonsense.
What's the opposite of saying you got to respect that?
Yeah, probably what he says next.
We have to sober up to this reality.
This is getting back to Newsom's
point. Right.
Yeah.
We're still in the first wave. We're not in a second wave. We're still in the first wave.
Stop tape. We'll this is exactly my point. We are still in the first wave.
Good
this
point.
Is the wave that all you did was kind of slow down, and then you unleashed it when you said, oh, we're going to start opening up again. He had to open up. If he had it his way, he would have kept the California economy shut down straight through November in order to hammer President Trump, but he had to.
I'm honestly lost in terms of how that's supposed to help the right-wing argument.
Yeah. Yep.
Because if I'm tracking this correctly, he's saying...
Oh, you are.
He's saying that there is a first wave that happened.
Yep.
And all that the mitigation measures like distancing, mask wearing, closing businesses, all that did is successfully hold back cases from exploding, which was the stated goal that everybody was discussing at
the time. Keep on going.
And they had to reopen things because there was a ton of pressure, and that is what is now no longer being held back.
Yes.
And so the first wave is now resurging.
Right.
You just take a slightly different approach to this, and he sounds like...
like he's advocating for the shutdown again.
Yeah.
And somehow he's saying that like it's a... Yeah. Oh, see, what happened was we shut down the economy to slow the rate of cases.
Yep.
And then the guy I support forced us to open again and surprise because we didn't shut down long enough, which is what Governor Newsom wanted to do, by the way. Mm-hmm. Then we have a bunch of cases. And that's Governor Newsom's fault.
Yep. I don't understand anybody listening to this and thinking like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
This guy.
Yep.
Let alone the fucking president.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was what passes for brilliant analysis.
Yeah.
And he's...
So wait, what is he prescribing then?
Exactly.
Because if the implications of that clip are to be understood, then had nothing been done earlier...
Correct.
The hospitals would all have been overwhelmed.
Right.
It would have been a disaster.
You got it.
A humanitarian disaster.
Right.
Tons and tons of cases everywhere. A lot of death. So obviously that's not what he's advocating.
Right.
So he does recognize that the measures worked.
Oh, exactly.
Or they were effective.
Oh, yeah. But he refuses to wear a mask.
Great.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later. He can't really be saying that the businesses shouldn't have been shut down because that's part of the... thing that helped that nightmarish result not come into
play.
He can't be saying that businesses should have reopened because he's saying that that is what's leading to this rising number of cases now.
Correct.
He can't be saying that businesses should be reclosed.
No, because that'll hurt the economy.
Exactly.
And ruin Trump's reelection.
What does he want? I don't honestly see what he wants other than to assign blame and pretend like everything is an attack on his hero.
Yeah.
I don't understand how there's any like even semblance of this being productive.
No, this entire thing, like I said, is him saying one thing, immediately discounting it, and then just continuing on like he proved what he was trying to say.
Yeah. I hate to say this, he's more confusing than Alex.
Yeah, he's insane.
Yeah.
This is nonsense. I don't understand any of this. And he does not give a fuck.
So Americans in all states, from Texas to Florida to California, you have a choice. You can listen to the mainstream media breathlessly misreport the spread of COVID-19, or you can do your homework like I do, day in and day out. The truth about COVID-19 lies in the data. And the truth is, corona is not the lethal threat to the vast majority of the American population.
So, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. Now, sure, there are 120,000 dead, you know, but compared to 6 billion, Dan, that's practically none.
It's a gigantic number, that 6 billion.
Yeah.
You got to really sit back and think about it from time to time.
Totally. Here's another way.
Big number.
Here's another way we can look at that argument. All right. So, according to the FBI statistics, there are about 16,000 murders per year.
Right.
And cops only solve and don't really prevent about 47% of those on average.
Give or take,
Right. So that means that the threat to America is practically nothing.
Basically.
16,000 compared to
100,000?
Yeah.
Just from COVID
That's
cases.
Nothing. Yeah. That's nothing. So we can finally get rid of police.
Oh, yeah.
His argument is perfect.
Yeah, I mean, if you use his
his bullshit
the goalposts
logic.
That he's set up for himself.
Exactly.
God, what else could we get rid of? Just about everything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm.
It's nuts. And anybody knows that a functioning society cares, even if it's not a threat to everyone.
You should.
Right?
Yeah.
It seems simple.
Yeah.
And he is
That's the idea of public health.
Right. All right, so finally, we get to the main event. We get to our boy Roger Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Here's his introduction.
Joining me now from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, political consultant, lobbyist, strategist, and former Trump surrogate, Roger Stone. Roger, they attack Trump as a racist because they are deathly afraid that he is going to pick up a larger percentage of the black vote come November. And they attack you, and they have attacked you, because you are a proxy for President Trump.
Graham, where are the laptops? Graham? Where's the list, Graham? Turns out he also ran Graham's run for the school board.
Yeah. For San Diego. Yeah.
Roger Stone has his finger in every single person's campaign.
Every pie. Yeah. He's got a thumb in there.
And Graham stole laptops from him at the time.
I just love the... That was a complete non sequitur, by the way.
What?
They want to call Trump a racist because he's going to... They never speak of racism again.
Oh, of course not.
They never speak of any of that ever again.
It's just a good way to frame things.
Yeah, you just start there.
Yeah.
That's how he introduces Stone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it probably is also great, like, just solid analysis that people call Trump a racist because they're afraid... It's going to win more of the black vote.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
Seems likely.
No, we're terrified of that. That's why we got a lie about
it. Did you check in how he's polling?
With the black vote?
Yeah.
We are down to 6%, Dan.
Great. Cool. Yeah, I think you can just call him a racist regardless
you don't need
who
to worry
votes
about
for him or doesn't.
No, that's because he is a thing.
You bet.
Yeah. And this is where Stone begins to beg
for President Trump. And I think that we owe you some qualified congratulations, although they're very deeply qualified.
You're going to
the
prison.
Judge in your case, this Amy Berman Jackson, more on her in a moment, delayed your surrender date to jail until July 14th. It's only a couple of weeks, Roger. You have a lot more work to do between now and then because this doesn't quite cut it, does it?
No, exactly, Greg.
Does not cut it.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It does not quite cut it. So far, going on Alex's show and OAN.
And some QAnon
and
web
some QAnon
broadcasts,
stuff,
apparently.
That's not cutting it.
No.
You got a lot more work to do. But we have qualified congratulations for getting 2 weeks off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But he was trying to get a further.
60 days.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't get 60 days.
No, so that is a heavily qualified congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yep, so... Stone is going to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
This is where he's going to start begging.
He knows what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Is the Democrat majority in the House are concerned about the dangers of COVID-19 virus, but at the same time, they support my being sent to a prison facility in Georgia where the danger of COVID-19 virus infection, in my case, given that I'm 67 years old and have a history of asthma, is extraordinarily high.
This is a really good play on his part because it is something that's real. I don't trust him, but like it would make more sense or I'd care more about it if he was circulating and making this appeal on networks that, first of all, took COVID seriously.
Yep.
And secondly, hadn't been screaming about them releasing murderers into the streets because of COVID-19.
You got it.
So, like, it rings hollow to me when you have Roger Stone pleading to not go to probably a very lush prison environment, minimum security type situation.
Oh, very minimum.
And, like I said, from the reporting that I've seen, no cases of COVID-19 at that facility. I would take it more seriously if it wasn't being distributed by people who have tried to fear bait about not letting people out of prison based on these very same concerns. It's discordant. I don't appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. And he's doing this on a show where just 5 minutes earlier, the guy said, well, we should let young people out all the time. Sure, they're asymptomatic and maybe they'll transmit the virus, mm-hmm. but they don't know anybody like Roger Stone, somebody who's 65 with a history of asthma and shit like that, who is also at the most dangerous risk from the COVID-19.
How does Graham not know that somebody who went to one of these bars when he's 20-year-old is going to get into a fight, stab someone with a broken bottle?
That makes sense.
End up Roger's cellmate, give him COVID-19 from going to the bars. I've just made a compelling argument for why Graham should recant his position.
I think you just wrote Con Air 2, and I love it.
It'd be great.
It would be fantastic.
I really wish that instead of these people doing this desperate, self-contradictory nonsense, mm-hmm. I wish that fucking Roger Stone just leaned into it hard and went around on all these shows and was like, all right, here's why I'm on. I'm putting together a Dirty Dozen.
We're breaking out.
Exactly. Look. There's no convincing Amy Berman Jackson to not put me in prison. So what I'm doing is I'm putting together a team to break me out. Like, why not just do that ahead of time?
Yeah.
Who's gonna do anything about it? Yeah. All right, we need an explosives guy. We need a face man. We need somebody who's really good at picking locks.
He's just going on shows and he's like recruiting the host.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, how are you doing with explosives?
No, you don't want Graham.
Graham.
Maybe one of your listeners. Maybe one of your listeners knows something. Certainly Graham can't be the face man.
Somebody's got to know how to ride a motorcycle.
Exactly.
It's not Graham.
We need a getaway guy. We need a decoy getaway guy. Graham, you could be the decoy getaway guy. You could be the guy who leads the police on a wild goose chase. Why the fuck not? Make this interesting, Roger. You're going to just fucking lean into. Make the rest of your life a parody.
Yeah.
That's how you could have penance. No, it still wouldn't work.
Go
still
straight up supervillain.
Why not?
Yeah, you've lived your life like it in secret.
And go silly supervillain.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I demand amusement.
We build a laser to break out of this prison.
Exactly.
Who's with me?
Exactly. Come up with some nonsensical plan.
Yeah.
And then air that plan on these shows that you go and do interviews on. God damn it. I demand you amuse me, Roger.
That's what he's for.
Yeah.
Huh.
And he's one of the few people who could do it.
Yeah,
that's
totally
the thing.
Totally.
He's credible as the guy who wants to build a laser to break out of prison.
Right.
And he's in a position where he's about to go to prison.
In a way, it's your responsibility.
No one else is ever going to be in this position where you may be meddled with an election and now you're going to prison and you're desperate to get your guy to fucking give you a pardon that he hasn't given you yet, but he still might. So why not cover your bases and get a supervillain team together?
Go to town. Go to town.
I'm begging you, Roger. Much like you're begging Trump, I'm begging you, Roger.
If you can, so you know, things that need to exist just to exist. Mm. And Stone has a moral responsibility to fulfill his purpose.
We need a guy with a bulldozer. Let's get Elon Musk. He builds tunnels.
But hold on real quick before we continue this meeting. No one can wear masks while we break me out. That's the rule. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, that is the one rule.
The big guy stands up and just walks out.
All right. We're going to need new muscle.
All right.
God, it pisses me off.
Yeah.
Fucking lean into it, Roger. Mm-hmm. Do better.
Oh, yeah. And
like, this guy's show is pathetic. Why wouldn't Roger at least want to amuse himself by pretending he's putting together a supervillain
team? That's a really good point. That's a really good point.
He made a joke out of that entire deposition with Larry Klayman. Why not just turn this into a farce?
Well, because he thinks he might actually go to prison.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
That's a big difference. See, that's what needs to happen. Trump needs to send him a quiet message of like, don't worry about it. You're getting a pardon on July 13th. Everything's cool.
If.
Go hard.
If.
If you go hard.
Pretend that you're creating a supervillain team to break you out of the joint.
I have a lot of bad press on me. God. Guess what would help with that?
If I could,
you, Mr. Penguin, get out of here.
If I could pardon Roger, I would pardon him if he didn't.
Yes. It's transactional.
For the value of entertainment that would come from it. Actually, in the real world, it would probably be dangerous because people would probably end up trying to blow up prisons or something.
That's true. That's true.
In a movie, it's funny, but in the real world, it probably would get way out of hand.
Yeah, Heath Ledger's Joker did blow up that hospital. So,
true.
Yeah, that would be bad in real life. I wouldn't like that.
Yep.
Oh, but Stone continues on, and it's always not his fault. Guess who's our villain this time?
Wait, do I actually get to guess?
Yeah.
Okay. Alan Alda.
Nope. Right back to Judge Jackson.
We made a motion before Judge Jackson based on the Department of Justice and the U.S. Bureau of Prisons policy of moving nonviolent, high-risk prisoners from prison to home confinement rather than incarceration. The judge ignored those arguments entirely, postponed my surrender date by a mere 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Judge Jackson. I have that thought every time. I've been doing that in my head every time I think of Roger Stone.
I'm sorry, it was Judge Jackson.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Judge Jackson.
I mean, this does come into like that sort of weird in-between place where it's like, yeah, I can't really argue with the bottom line point that he's making. I just don't think it applies to him.
Right. Well, that's the thing. The thing that got me about that, because normally I wouldn't even bother to cut that clip. He's just doing the whole thing. But I hate the way that they always get to frame it. They always let him frame it as Judge Jackson ignored my concerns.
Yeah.
She did not ignore his concerns.
No.
She wrote a 5-page opinion on his concerns, having carefully looked over them, and even, by all accounts, beyond fair. Like, I was reading the decision, and there's a couple really good things that she gets in there. But while the defendant correctly observes that other courts in this district have granted extensions in other cases, neither of those defendants was convicted of threatening anyone, and there is no indication that either failed to abide by conditions of release at any time. By contrast, Mr. Stone was convicted of threatening a witness, and throughout the course of these criminal proceedings, the court has been forced to address his repeated attempts to intimidate and to stoke potentially violent sentiment against an array of participants in this case, including individuals involved in the investigation, the jurors, and the court.
I remember those times.
Yeah, Roger, you're going in there because you threatened to hurt the judge and put out a million, and we're there. Yeah.
And it was the Credico, too.
Yeah. Like the whole thing.
Yeah.
But here's my favorite one. The defendant's response to the court's inquiry concerning his personal preventative practices and avoidance of public gatherings in accordance with these directives was vague, carefully parsed, and not reassuring, Jackson said.
So he's still been going to TGI Fridays?
You got it. Yes. That's what she's literally like, honestly, you're more dangerous to yourself outside of prison.
Uh-huh.
You're
going to end up at a fucking rally, no mask rally with Alex if you don't go to prison.
Exactly. She's trying to save his fucking life.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, it falls on deaf ears for me. I mean, like, at the same time, if there were some sort of a house arrest kind of thing until things calmed down, and Roger did get that, I wouldn't be hopping mad about, like, he escaped justice. Like, if there was, like, something where he was still going to get whatever punishment society has deemed necessary, that and it was just delayed for safety measures.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be mad about that, but I'm mad the way he's weaponizing a legitimate concern for his own selfish purpose.
Exactly.
I don't see him or anybody who he associates with who have platforms advocating for people being released over health concerns.
Right.
And because of that, this seems just hollow. It seems false. And I don't care.
Yeah, that's complete bullshit.
Yep.
And here's where we get him praying to Trump.
I am praying to the president on humanitarian grounds to grant either a commutation of sentence or a pardon. Otherwise, in all honesty, I think there's a high probability that I would die in a federal prison prior to my appeal being heard. Now, I want my appeal to be heard.
Yeah, sure you do.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Loves praying to Trump.
I mean, and it's the exact same message, too, that that sort of the mysterious Schrodinger's appeal.
Yep. Yep.
It is weird that he is now on two platforms that we've seen saying he's praying to Trump.
Yeah.
That means it isn't a slip.
No, I had to cut that. He's praying to Trump.
Yeah.
He's being very clear about that.
That's weird.
Yeah. Yep.
Probably should offend very religious people.
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think. For somebody who is a recently born-again Christian to immediately break those big rules.
Yeah. Should probably offend Alex, too. But oh, well.
Hey, they don't really bother with that too much.
Seems like they might not.
Yep. And then this is our last clip right here. He's going... Graham Ledger now is talking to Stone.
Sorry, Graham Ledger. Woo-hoo. Can't not do it.
Stone is for real.
Going to a prison cell for sure. That wasn't that good.
You get 5 points.
You're too generous.
You get 5 points.
Make it four.
All right. I will give you four.
All right.
Out of 100. It's worse than the...
6 billion.
It's worse than that cucumber mint.
Fair enough.
And then finally, this is how it ends. Or this is when... this is the last time he says anything interesting. He pulls a tweet up and puts it on the screen. Graham Ledger does, and this is what they're talking about.
Once. There's a petition out there, Roger, to try and get you pardoned, as you mentioned, by the President of the United States. This Lori Hendry made a post on Twitter, and then significantly, I don't know who Lori is, maybe I should, but significantly, President Trump retweeted her tweet. Now, I don't talk a lot about tweets on this program, but I think that that is significant, don't you?
I mean, it would be in his interest to think it is.
Yeah.
Why don't you know about who this person is?
That's why, because I was like, why are you putting a tweet up from a random person just being like, I don't know who this Lori is.
Mm-hmm.
I do hours of research every morning for this
show.
This
guy does his homework.
I work on this show every morning, and nobody at all told me 5 minutes before to just look it up on Twitter real quick.
I will say that that is bad on his part,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a sin that's unique to these right-wing ding-dongs.
No, 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 no.
A lot of these news outlets that rely on like social media farming for like, oh, this tweet says blank. They do not do looking into who the accounts
they're not interested in.
Yeah. So like that is more a universal problem of integrating news and social media together. Yeah. But yeah, fuck him. That's stupid.
And the tweet that he's talking about is Lori Hendry. I looked into it. It's a real Twitter account.
I was hoping it was a Phil Hendry character.
I was hoping it was a Phil Hartman character.
Wow.
And he's actually still alive. That would have been my goal.
He's our JFK Jr.
He is our JFK Jr. but yeah, she's a conservative Twitter that's apparently a real person, but is essentially all bots.
Right.
Like she's got 300,000 followers or something, and the company Vinesight, along with NBC News, looked into it and more than half of all of her retweets and shit like that are direct bot behavior.
Yeah.
So she's just made up. She's a complete creation, you know?
Yeah. Trying to get that that petition out there to
totally
get Roger a nice little pardon.
Why would Trump... That's the thing, all right? You're telling me that Trump retweeted a petition to get Trump to do the thing that he could do...
That seems weird.
At any point in time.
Yeah. Fuck a petition...
Just do it.
Sign up list for the Dirty Dozen. That's what you retweet.
That's what we're in for.
Yeah.
That's what we're in for.
He has 2 weeks. This is a movie.
Oh.
This is a fucking
movie. Oh, this is a Brewster's Millions situation.
He has a time limit.
Mm-hmm.
There's 2 weeks to get together a team of the baddest dudes and chicks
totally.
You can find.
Montage.
Exactly.
This is a 2 week montage. A
lot of people not making the cut. A lot of people not being able to climb over that wall, you know, that everybody has to climb over in montages.
Yeah.
Maybe one surprising recruit who looks like he's fucking screwed, never going to make it,
ends up
surprising everyone.
Here's the other thing.
I would get John Gabris to play that guy because he's a big dude, you know, but he also is pretty spry on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up being like really surprising that this big guy can move.
Right.
That's what I would do.
All right. I like that. Here's my pitch for you. Let's add in Ross Perot. All right. Because Ross Perot.
H. Ross Perot?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because Ross Perot famously trained some people to get prisoners of war out of a prison.
Uh-huh.
So he's already got the experience.
Is he alive?
He's our Charles Xavier.
Is he alive?
I don't care if he's alive.
Okay.
We got to get his ghost.
Okay. Then let's get Ron Paul and everybody.
Oh, yes.
All those people who were involved in trying to take over Dominica.
Totally.
Yeah.
Dream team this.
Exactly.
Yeah. And who's going to be delivering the hard rice, Dan?
Well, Larry.
Larry Nichols.
Larry Nichols, of course.
I love this movie.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this.
Then?
Okay.
I don't know how this works. We got to fit in Alex somehow. And the only way I can think of is like Robin Williams' character in Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah.
He's sort of a radio guy who's
getting the truth out.
Yeah, but you don't really need that because it's only a team of like 12 people.
Well, here's what we got then. All right. Who's doing recon? Mm-hmm. Who's in the shadows? Who's in the bushes?
Well, Rappaport, of course.
Absolutely.
But I figured out a role for Alex.
Okay. What's Alex's job?
What has he played in every movie he's ever been in?
The street preacher screaming nonsense?
You bet.
Okay. So he's the diversion. Yes. Yes.
Alex is with a bullhorn on a street corner somewhere.
Totally.
Maybe like a...
hey, prison guards, yeah. 50 cents off lunch.
Exactly. Exactly. Alex is drawing everyone's attention away while Larry Nichols wheezes and everybody else...
Hey, could you let me into the prison?
I need to use the bathroom. Then Elon Musk comes out of nowhere.
Sure,
starts digging a hole.
Okay. All right.
He has the boring company. You know, they bore the holes. Right. You get in there. And that is also
that's
a diversion.
That's the tunneling.
That's a diversion.
That's also a diversion.
That's also a diversion.
So half of the Dirty Dozen is just diversions.
It turns out, at the end of this, they're all diversions. None of them actually want to get Roger out.
No, he sucks.
It's a prank on Roger.
They all stand up and be like, this was great, guys. Fuck Roger.
Mm-hmm.
We rat-fucked you for the final time.
Enjoy your short prison sentence.
Exactly. That's Graham Ledger's show. Yeah. And we can never speak of Graham Ledger again because
unless
he fucking
gets better.
Sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible. Yeah. I appreciate you... checking in on it, though, because I know that a lot of people have suggested, like, hey, OAN is rising, and it is.
It is.
Not
because of quality.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So bad that I had to fantasize about a movie about Roger Stone.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, I guess we'll be back.
We will be back, Dan.
Yep.
But first, we have a website.
Yeah, it's knowledgefight.com.
We are also on Twitter.
Tag at knowledge_fight and at go to bed Jordan.
And we are on Facebook.
Yeah, you can find it. Charity.
And finally, I am neither Neo, Leo, nor am I
DZX Clark.
Going to help Roger Stone out of prison.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.